I'll summarize what I've said just said. Our goal is to have a always-on verbose tracing system in such a way that your performance won't hurt too much, right? Zero is impossible, unfortunately, I think. Yeah. But that's the goal, because sometimes you get those issues that happen somewhere sometimes and enabling and are impossible to debug, right? So that's the motivation. So it's in technically it's somewhat similar to F-trace, right? I hope you're familiar. It's tracing system, but it's used in usually in deep in development or in deep debug when you control the system, and it's a singleton, right? So here we're talking about binary tracing per your module, and where you control what is what and how and etc. So the problem, as I just mentioned, fully formatting the logging is obviously slow. Even if you don't dump it into dmessage, it will still hit your performance, right? So this is going to be a technical deep dive in what we did and how we did it. So the problem. The problem is memory. That's performance, right? So if you want to have good performance, you have to be hitting close to your memory and doing doing as little as possible. So that means that the idea of our tracing meant that while we may be reaching out of your exact working space, right? Because you're logging somewhere else, right? You have your memory that you're working memory, and you have your logging memory. Going outside of your working memory means you'll get your cache misses and you will hurt performance. That's kind of the main issue. That's the main problem of your, of any logging or anything else. So trying to minimize the size of the trace, right? And the number of times you're accessing a remote memory, a remote, and it's outside of L1, too, right? So it's not really remote, but still something we're trying to minimize your performance hit. The goal is to make that as small as possible, right? So why am I saying it? Because you will see some optimizations, and that's the idea, trying to make everything as compact as possible. That's why also F-trace is a bit fat in my mind, for at least for this case, right? So why binary tracing? Binary tracing is kind of the fastest way to do it. And many of the things that you do, you can do at compile time, right? So we keep in memory only the parameters you're actually saving, right? So you have some kernel address or some ID, some token. You save only, you don't need to save the whole string because the string is somewhere else, all you save. So we save it just once at compile time, right? So we have, for each logging instance, we have this data structure, right? So we have a TS delta. What a TS delta means that we don't keep the whole U64 for your time frame. We keep only a delta from a baseline, right? We keep the baseline, actually, in the next slide. So, but we don't keep the whole time frame. We only the delta from a baseline where you allocated a page buffer. It's kind of foreshadowing something that I'm going to talk about. So each entry has a delta, so it's more compact. Source ID is where your line was, right? So you save somewhere. Each time you log an interest, right? On the first time you hit this line, you save the location, right? The file name, the line number, and it gets an ID. So next time when you are logging, you only save the ID, right? And so when you are deserializing this log, you have the exact number. You don't need the string. You just have a U16. Why does it say 8 byte? Okay. And so you have this, and you have a user context. For example, in Ceph we have FSID, global ID. We also can save some client specific, something that's specific to you in your logging, so you can get it fast, right? And the length. So it's basically a TLV structure. And that's kind of the idea, keeping as compact as possible. How are we, you know, how we're doing this, basically? So you have the serialization, VTLB, compile time, as much as you can do it, compile time, you save it, and that's kind of the magic, right? And then you deserialize on demand, right? So what's the magic? The magic is that I'm not using actual circular buffers, but it's a circular memory allocation system, right? I should have invested in a slide of this comment, but basically we have a magazine allocator, right? That's how the memcaches work. So magazine allocator, you get a magazine of buffers, right? And you allocate it per core, right? And you have two of those. So there's a paper on it, unfortunately not mine, and it's been long in the kernel for, but I'm using this reasoned mechanism. So the allocation is very fast for each frag, right? But we are allocating very, very small segments, right? As I mentioned, we have this only your parameters and only the TLB header, right? So each, in our use case, what I saw with this, in this way, we could save two logs per cache line, right? And it's an improvement on whatever was before. Basically means that when you have one log, it's the cache line is only in your L1, the next log will be essentially free, right? So how do you allocate fast? So first you have the magazines allocator. So you have per core allocations, which you go to the global context once in a blue moon. Again, it's not talk about magazines, but you know, if you're not familiar with pattern, my advice to you, use it, know it, because it's very powerful. And the next thing we do is take each one of those buffers and actually use it for we slice it up, right? It's again borrowed from networking, right? Networking allocations, what you have usually, you have 30K buffer allocated, and then each time you have a network packet in common, just slice it up. So your allocation is just adding whatever the size of the buffer is. And that's the same mechanism we're using here. And so from my experience, having this pair of magazines with page frags, with fragmenting this page, is very, very fast, right? It's in this, you won't see the performance. I use it with 100 gigabit NICs per packet memory operations. So this is not what hurts your performance. What hurts the performance is the actual access, right? That's the first slide I showed, right? So memory access. And so we have this magazine allocation on the one side. We have your page frag allocation when you're using it. And then you have an allocator that also in a magazine allocator that puts it in an existing logs cache, basically, right? And those magazines go into a global list eventually, and then recycled, right? So you have full control, and this cyclical allocation scheme provides you two things. A, you control the amount of memory you're willing to provide for your logging, and B, make sure that each log keeps its life as long as possible, right? So it's only when it's go through the whole cycle, build your logs, be recycled, right? In globally, right? So performance and lifetime. So additionally, we want to have process context, but you know, not everything happens in the process context. Some things happen in IRQ or NAPI context in networking, right? So for this specific change, we are trying, and that's the one big change I need to kind of get in. We're adding a pointer into struct task, right? So when you have a process that is logging, like we're talking about file system, right? Someone does a write, a read, some operation. You want to be able, when you get in the logs back out, you want to see which process did what, right? You want to be able to take your A Python script and organize the logs in ever which way you like, because you won't get them in a properly serialized time. You'll get them each page frag, which will be properly serialized, you know, by time, but they will be out of order, right? And you want to organize it by your process or whatever context that you have, right? The second thing, you have the NAPI context. You have packets coming and receiving, so the process context is relevant, is wrong, right? So that's why we separate between the two, and we have per process logging and per CPU logging, and they're separate. They all belong to your module context, right? And you'll get them, but when you dump it, you will see something that happened when you actually did something, when you made a syscall, and when something happened with your module, but you don't really know, kind of, you don't know who paid the price, because, you know, whatever was running on the CPU when the IRQ happened, so we tell there was an IRQ and NAPI, something came from the wire, something came in your async disco, and, you know, make sure you have the proper logging. Memory layout, let's try to make it, let's skip the slide. So this is kind of the explanation of what I, illustration of what I was explaining. So we have the empty mug. It goes to global list, that's kind of the blue, and it goes into a full mug list. So we allocate a page frag context, as I said, so we have the magazines, we allocate an entry, but it belongs to a page frag context, which has a list head, because as I mentioned, when we allocate one, it goes into this global list, and this page head remains alive and usable throughout the life. No matter where in the life cycle each page frog is, and that's so that when we dump your information, when you actually want to see to be serialized logging, you can get all the logs, right? So you have the list log, and we have the distribution, like the PID or the CPU, very rare. And the base GFIS. So when this becomes active, you record the base GFIS, and so next time when each log comes, you only need the delta, right? That's how we make it smaller. Yeah, so that's kind of the description. So we have the buffer, the metadata, and then you have the logs, and when we deplete this page frog, instead of trying to do a cyclical allocation, we just move it aside into an existing logs cache and get a new one. Again, because we want to keep the logs alive as long as possible, right? Global context, that's kind of what they start. So we have the allocation box. This is the kind of the live logs batch. I think it's a typo. And so you have the source map and the climb map. So the climb map, as I said, is the identifiers that are specific to your module, whatever you wanted to save. And the source map is the location. So you have the lines and the, so it was a deep dive. The original talk was kind of longer. I hope it wasn't too dense. So time for questions. Sure, go ahead.
So how do you read the trace then once you
How do you read the trace then? Is there integration with any tracing GUI, or do you use some custom scripting to then reason about it?
So what you get, you have the current solution is we have a DBKFS file for your module, and you just cut and read it, right? So I'm not sure it will remain, so I sent back in October the patch set. It's about longish, and Steven Rosett, who wrote FTrace, wanted, why don't you use FTrace FS? So the current implementation is DBKFS, and we'll see how it goes. The mic went, so. Yeah.
Sure. Are you tracing only kernel space, only user space, both?
It's only kernel space.
Okay, thank you.
So it's not in the BPF solution, it's just inside your kernel module when it compiles. Right?
You started your talk with comments about memory latency.
Yeah.
Does this really play such a big role? Because as a tracing provider or creator, you're just writing. Yep. That means you never have to wait on memory. you just store it out into write buffers, and eventually the system will flush them out.
Yes,
or are you seeing stalls?
It's not about the stalls. It's about the memory footprint. So whenever you're going outside of your working memory, you're doing your L1, your L2, and et cetera. So whenever you have a working context at the CPU.
So is this?
Just one more thing. Mm. I mean, for example, the Intel has non-temporal stores. Are you using them? Because that would bypass all these caches.
I didn't actually try. From my memory, it's the hassle is not very. So we used to made some experiments with it like a decade ago, with in a different context, not this one. It's actually an interesting idea. I would need to do it. So my memory of it was that it's not very good, not very useful, but maybe out of date, and the specific context may have changed enough to make it relevant, so it's actually a good idea.
So is this specific to kernel modules? Do you need to do something in your kernel module?
I can't hear you.
Is this specific to kernel modules? Do you need to modify a kernel module, or can you use it in the core kernel?
It's a subsystem that you can, it's a library that you can use and just change your logging, like a ptrace to, you know, blog trace, and you get it, right?
Okay. So. Anything else?
Okay, folks, if any more questions, you want to see the, you know, talk about the patches, my email is right there. Thank you for listening.
Thank you.